live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lowdown Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Lakers insider for Lakers Daily. And today on the show, we're going to be talking about Jared Vanderbilt. And not in a way that I was hoping to talk about Jared Vanderbilt. There was a quote that came out recently, or a kind of like pseudo report from Mike Bresnahan of Spectrum Sportsnet about Vando's recovery that obviously sparked a whole bunch of, concern. And, you know, here we stand. So we're going to be talking about the report that Brez had. I'm going to talk about information flow on the Vanderbilt front specifically, and the Lakers kind of more generally, and even more generally in the NBA, how everybody, you know, handles injury information. And then, you know, from there, we'll, if there's time, you know, we'll know. From there, we're going to talk about the impact that a continued Jared Vanderbilt absence could potentially have on the Lakers, or would have on the Lakers. And then, you know, after we kind of flush out the Vanderbilt news or update or whatever, I'll answer a couple questions before we get out of here. A quick reminder, please do hit subscribe. If you guys are watching live on YouTube right now, consider it that free cover fee, right? That cover free, as we've talked about in the past, hit that like button as well. It also helps the channel grow. If you guys are listening to this in the morning in podcast form, hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and then tell your friend about, or tell your friends, neighbors, family, anybody who might be interested in the Lakers heading into the season about the show, and how wonderful the lounge is. I will also say that normally Sunday nights are for mailbags, and normally I would sit here and answer all of your questions. I am live right now after the Rams game, because I figured people would want to, you know, kind of hang around. I didn't think that they would lose the game, which, you know, I think kind of hurt the audience or whatever, but, you know, whatever. We are here now, and we're going to talk about Jared Vanderbilt. And I do think this might be a slightly shorter episode. And then we're going to pick things right up tomorrow. And I'll answer more of your guys' questions tomorrow in another live kind of mailbag setting, when there are more of us around, as it won't be 9 o'clock on a Sunday night. So with all of that said, and without any further ado, let's go ahead and get into this Jared Vanderbilt situation. So, man, I'm going to start, well, all right, I'll give the quote first, and then I'll kind of expand on the quote. But Mike Bresnahan, on an episode of the Lake Show podcast for Spectrum Sportsnet, said the following, quote, "Vando is going to be interesting. I'm not sure he'll be ready for training camp or even for preseason games. It's a foot injury. He opted not to have a procedure in season when he got hurt in February, so we'll see if he's ready to go. I don't have a lot of details on it. Regular season, different story. Hopefully he's ready by then." Allie, he was talking to Allie Clifton. "Nothing concrete on him yet," end quote. So this quote kind of perfectly summarizes what it's like to try to talk about injuries in the NBA. And I sent out a tweet after Brez's quote came out, and as people were kind of aggregating Brez's quote, saying that I've been reluctant to really get into Jared Vanderbilt's situation, but, you know, the information I'd gotten to this point, there was not very much good information on Jared Vanderbilt to this point in his recovery to this point. I'm going to break down Brez's quote kind of sentence by sentence. So he starts, Vando's going to be interesting. Not a great start. Remember, this is, by the way, Brez's, like Brez is saying this on Lakers state-run television, right? They are corporate partners with Spectrum Sportsnet and have a, like, they do tell Spectrum what to and what not to say in certain situations. And Spectrum is always very cognizant of how the Lakers are going to respond to the things that they say on the air on those channels or on that channel. So when Brez is saying this, it should give you pause. But anyway, so Vando is going to be interesting. I'm not sure he'll be ready for training camp or even for preseason games. So what I would take from that is that, and you know, I would do so combining the information I've had to this point. Vanderbilt was essentially like, so when he got hurt, he could have opted for a surgery that would have at least theoretically cleared things up, would have taken him out for the season, but he would have been fully healthy for the offseason and certainly by training camp. He decided to hold off in the hopes of potentially helping. The Lakers, I'm told, never thought he was actually going to help last season. And I don't think everybody was on the same page when it came to how everybody was going to handle this. Again, more on the Lakers and their handling of injuries a little bit later in the show. But Vanderbilt, you know, was hoping to be able to help in the postseason. Remember, he was cleared to play in the final game of the postseason, but didn't get in, which I think left a lot of people kind of scratching their heads. And now we're coming to find out that even months removed from that decision to clear him to play, he somehow still isn't fully recovered from an injury that he sustained way earlier in the season. He was out for a while before we got to the postseason. So when Brez says, you know, he opted not to have a procedure in season when he got hurt in February, so we'll see if he's ready to go. The potential implication is that Vando could have opted for some kind of a surgery at the end of the season that maybe he misses a little bit of time at the beginning of the season, but it would have cleared it up. And, what's making all of this really, really difficult, to be completely frank, we never really found out what the actual injury was. And Vando's camp has been very tight-lipped on what the actual injury was. The Lakers, you know, kind of, I'd have to go back and look at what their phrasing was initially, but it was still kind of like he had a midfoot or a heel injury in the foot region. And it's like, okay, there's a lot that can go on in a foot and in the foot region and in the lower leg region. And a lot of this kind of, you know, ambiguity has led to a lot of speculation. And this is the number one rule when it comes to PR is if you don't tell your story clearly, you allow other people to tell it for you. And at this point, we are all forced to try to figure out what happened in the time between when, you know, Vando sustained the injury to now, when somehow, you know, 4, 5, 6 months later, this guy still somehow isn't healthy, and there doesn't seem to be a clear time frame for when he might be. And that makes all of this really effing frustrating because, and by the way, this is the kind of thing that I think the NBA because of their partnership with gambling entities, is going to have to nip in the bud. They're going to start doing their research, and they're going to start doing their digging on what's going on here, so that bettors and gambling partners can assign proper information or can set lines based on proper information. You know, because if, you know, if you set a win loss, total or over under a week ago or a couple weeks ago, thinking that Jared Vanderbilt is going to be healthy, and then now all of a sudden there's thinking that Jared Vanderbilt may not be healthy at the beginning of the season, that changes the over under and those totals that people would want to be betting on, right? So there's a lot going on here. Brez continues, I don't have a lot of details on it. Regular season, different story. Hopefully he's ready by then, Allie, but nothing concrete on him yet. And yeah, I mean, like, this is Brez, who has been covering the Lakers for decades now, came up as a journalist, and I think still has journalistic instincts. And because of that, he's reluctant to take that next step where it's like, this is what I'm hearing and all these things, because there is so much obfuscation, whatever the word is, on these kinds of topics. It's like, I'm going to get to it here in a second, like how I have handled this information and how I have handled the situation. But I want to be absolutely clear here. Brez showing this kind of concern about Jared Vanderbilt this late after the injury, that's the story. The details on it, like, that's kind of tricky or whatever. But Brez on that platform, having just spoken to JJ Redick, by the way, he had just done an exclusive with JJ Redick, I believe, for that podcast or for Spectrum Sportsnet. And you know, he then goes on the air and says, you know, when it comes to Jared Vanderbilt's injury. I know that this probably isn't the best delivery or anything like that. I'm saying this because, and I'm going to get to why this is a very awkward situation for those of us who are trying to cover this and offer you guys the best information that we can. But to me, beyond the specifics of like when Vanderbilt might be available, whether he should have gotten the surgery in the first place, why he hasn't gotten the surgery since, what was going on with clearing him to play in a playoff game, and then all of a sudden him not somehow being ready a couple months later, like all that speculation, there's plenty of time between now and the regular season to keep doing that. To me, the biggest story here is that Mike Bresnahan of Spectrum Sportsnet on Spectrum Sportsnet airwaves, again, a corporate partner of the Los Angeles Lakers, essentially their media arm, is saying this about Jared Vanderbilt and is showing this kind of concern about Jared Vanderbilt, which tells me and should tell the audience of that show, things aren't going great for Jared Vanderbilt. Now, from my perspective, I have been telling you guys on the air, I think tweeted this a couple times. I've said this to Raj on the Jared Vanderbilt episode, which is only a couple videos before this one, if you guys are looking for him. I have not been hearing very many good things about Vanderbilt's progression this summer. And people have been asking, like, it was funny on the day that I tweeted what I did, after Brez, this quote comes out, I had people both asking, why didn't you say anything about it earlier? And also, why are you saying anything about it now? And, so a little bit of backstory here. Last season, I was told that there was serious doubt and concern that Gabe Vincent would play again last year. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Vincent, you know, we get told Vincent's getting ready to make his return as soon as potentially next week. And I'm like, what? And I reported that the people that I had spoken to still have serious doubt and question as to whether or not Gabe Vincent is going to be able to go. I also said at the time there was some reported optimism that Jared Vanderbilt was going to be able to come back. And I said on his front too, people I've spoken to don't think that Vanderbilt is going to be coming back this year. Fast forward like 3 days and Gabe Vincent comes back. And obviously that's very embarrassing for me to be on the record, you know, saying I've been told that Vanderbilt Vincent isn't coming back. And then now here he is on the court again. And by the way, that's how I would like for this to go. If I'm reporting bad news, if I'm going to get news wrong, which by the way, everybody is going to get news wrong. If I'm going to get it wrong, I would rather be pessimistic or have negative news that I'm reporting that I wind up being wrong about, and it winds up being a better outcome than I thought or that I had been told in my reporting. And by the way, like on that same front, when I said that I don't think Jared Vanderbilt is going to be coming back again, he did not wind up coming back again. So I said it after that entire Vincent Vanderbilt ordeal, I said, I'm done. I'm not doing that again. I'm not talking about athlete injuries. I'm not going out on a limb on any of these things because there are way too many information outlets on this. You have the players' team, you have the team's doctors, you have people around the league and what they're hearing, you have scouts, you have all of these people who have either informed opinions or actual information on these fronts, and it winds up coming down to us to like distill all of that information and try to like compile it and put all of these ill-fitting puzzle pieces together to try to like hold up a Picasso painting of what this situation actually is. And I said, I'm not doing that again. I'm not interested in doing that again. Now, what I will do is if a bona fide reporter who I know has good information, is going to say something, I will contextualize that report or that information in the best way that I possibly can. And in this case, when Bresnahan says what he said about Jared Vanderbilt, I am able to contextualize and add information to that by saying that I've basically been hearing all of this all year and been really strongly hinting at, we can't just say Jared Vanderbilt is going to be this grand addition to the roster compared to last season, because I don't know for sure that the guy is definitely going to be healthy. And that was based off of some of the things that I've been hearing over the summer, where it's a tricky injury. Some people that I've spoken to think that he maybe should have gotten the surgery back during last season so that this would fully be cleared out by now. But at the end of the day, and this is where how the Lakers handle this and how the modern NBA handles this, further muddies these waters, because, from the Lakers' perspective, they like to delegate these things out. They basically, they work with players and they work with the teams of these players, and they basically say, all right, here's what our doctors are saying, and here's what your doctors are saying. And if you're willing to, allow us to just pass off the power here to your medical team, speaking to a player here, then that's how we'll handle this, right? It's not a perfect comparison here, but the Lakers have sucked at shooting for a long time now. They haven't employed a shooting coach for a long time now. And the reason that they don't employ a shooting coach is because they basically think that all of these guys are going to have their own shooting coach. So they're going to delegate that responsibility out to the player and hope that that works out in their favor. And by the way, the Lakers aren't unique in that regard. To varying degrees, the rest of the NBA does this as well. And that approach is fine when you're working with somebody like LeBron James, who has the best doctors at his disposal, who spends hundreds of million dollars of his own money on his body at year in, year out to stay healthy. Like, that's all fine if it's LeBron, but not all players have access to the same kind of resources that LeBron does. And, you know, if you delegate, or if you allow other entities to step in here and give their opinions and then have that player act upon those opinions over yours, you know, that lack of control could lead to a higher variance on outcomes on these injuries, right? So I'm not saying that Jared Vanderbilt's camp is wrong and not good at this or anything like that. I'm not saying that. You know, what I will say is that, like, some players, because of the amounts of money that they have earned over the course of their careers and the amounts of power that they hold personally and professionally, have access to certain doctors that other players may not. But, like, I'm not saying that the Lakers shouldn't handle this way. I am not informed enough. I am not a medical professional. I can't say that they are definitively wrong to handle this the way that they do. But when it comes to injury information, and the frustration that comes from the handling of that injury information, this is where a lot of that frustration stems from, is in the Lakers' continued delegation of that information and of the handling of these injuries to these players on a player by player basis. You're just you allow a lot of voices and a lot of opinions and a lot of leaks, you know, to different reporters, by the way. And what it all leads to is a fan base that is left wondering what the fuck is going on with our medical team. Why can't they handle this? And, you know, again, when you get the golden rule of public relations is either you tell your story or you allow others to tell it for you. And with the way that the Lakers are handling and have handled this now for a long time, they have allowed a lot of other people to tell or speculate on these stories beyond their control. And it leads to this frustration on not ever really feeling comfortable knowing who is going to be available. Whenever somebody gets hurt, it's like, we might see this guy next week. We might see this guy next month. We may never see this guy again this season. And you know, you have injuries like the Kendrick Nunn one, which was a bone bruise in the knee that took him out for an entire season. This one here with Jared Vanderbilt, you know, has taken him out. It might take him out for an entire calendar year. You know, it's like, we don't know. There's no way to know based on the information that has, in any definitive way made its way to the public. They're just the community. There's just communication breakdown after communication breakdown after communication breakdown. And it leads to a really ugly and muddy situation. So again, I'm not sitting here telling the Lakers how to handle this. I am not telling doctors how to doctor. I am not doing any of that. What I am kind of lending my voice to, though, is the frustration that I have sensed from the fan base, you know, in my mentions and in the mentions of, you know, other platforms that are talking about the Lakers when it comes to injuries, because nobody ever seems to know what the hell is going on until a player either is or is not. Well, no, it basically requires that player getting onto the court and staying on the court for a little while for us to be confident that that player is actually healthy. We don't know. We can't know. Because of the way that the Lakers handle this and because of the way that the NBA has basically decided to start handling this, there's just no way to know. And I was hoping, you know, as we moved into this era where gambling so thoroughly, you know, guides the principles of the league, right? Like Michael Porter Jr.'s Jontay Porter, you know, Michael Porter Jr.'s brother is now kicked out of the league forever because of, you know, the impact that his actions would have on the relationship that the NBA would have with their gambling partners. And for the league to like make that decision, but then also turn around and continue to just let everybody handle injury information all willy-nilly, as it annoys gamblers and gambling partners alike, doesn't seem to make much sense to me. It doesn't seem very consistent. And Jared Vanderbilt is just the latest chapter in that very annoying book. All right, let's talk about the actual basketball here. So what would it mean if Jared Vanderbilt is not available? It would mean that the Lakers would be down to two players on their roster that actually consistently defend on the perimeter. Gabe Vincent and Max Christie. Everybody else in terms of actual rotation players are either barely league average on the perimeter or below league average. And that makes things really tough. I also think Vando's absence has a certain effect on Rui Hachimura, where I think Rui makes a lot more sense when Vando was available, and you can basically go from like Rui minutes to Vando minutes and have that like shift in identity be more the Lakers would be more capable of executing that shift in identity from lineup to lineup. So there's just like a ripple effect here of what Vando's absence would mean. It would also mean that, like, and this was an interesting thing too. I, you know, talked to some people over the weekend and over the last week or so as this has been playing out. And, you know, somebody told me like there's like legit speculation out there that, like, would Vando pass a physical if he was actually traded? And that makes things complicated, as Vanderbilt is one of only a handful of players who are eligible to be traded before like December or whatever. So you have that going on as well. The Portland Trailblazers, for example, were interested in Vando and Rui for Jeremy Grant. And if that's the case, then and Vanderbilt, you know, may not pass a physical or, you know, let's say they do agree to some kind of a trade, and then all of a sudden Vando doesn't pass a physical. Well, then that puts you back at square one, and now you're back at square one with, you know, having a couple players on your roster who know that you just traded them and it just didn't happen to work out in that way. So, in terms of basketball, the Lakers, you know, you would need more from you. Like Cam Reddish would have to be a positive impact player, which he was at the beginning of the season, but I don't think that he will be that kind of a player over the course of, you know, an 82 game season or a lengthy Vando absence. If Vando misses a bunch of time, I think it makes more sense. And I'm going to talk to our dude Krangis about this, hopefully at some point this week. I think if Vando misses time, I think the Lakers should probably consider LeBron a small forward rather than strictly a power forward, which they've kind of done anyway. But I think it really makes sense to you know, have some lineups out there with Wood, AD, and LeBron at the same time. It basically means that Rui has to care about defense all the time. There's a ripple effect because Vando has a specific skill set that the Lakers just don't have very much of. They don't have very many little things guys. And Vando is probably their best little things guy, the guy who, you know, dives after loose balls, sets hard screens, you know, boxes out, gets on the offensive glass, cuts, all those things that like don't show up in the box score. Those are what we call little things. Vando is the best Laker at those things. And if you remove him from the rotation altogether, as we saw happen last year, that has a significant impact on the Lakers' adequacy with those little things. So Vando needs to be healthy. The Lakers like really do actually need his skill set, and these next few weeks, you know, 6 weeks or so, that's going to be one of the top things that I'm going to be paying close attention to is Vando's potential availability at the beginning of camp, throughout camp, for preseason games, and then on into the beginning of the regular season. All right, I'm going to go ahead and answer one question here. Wow, it's a long, that is a long question. I am not going to answer that question today because that is a lot. So I'm going to answer a question from Twitter to, you know, wrap up the show. So I have these. So I do have some super comments, so I'm going to start with there. Fuck Washington! All right. Brandon Omang writes, I hope his injury isn't no none 2.0. Brandon again, also hate how LA are, the Lakers are not upfront about injuries. This is one of those topics that like, if Aaron was here talking to me about it, he would say that this is the Lakers are not the only team that does this. And he would be right to point that out. My response to that would just be like, I don't care about the other teams. I mean, I do, like, as somebody who occasionally gambles and plays fantasy basketball and all those things, like, I do think that the NBA needs to crack down on injury information, as these teams have basically convinced themselves that they can, you know, gain some kind of weird competitive advantage by not acknowledging and communicating injury information. That's really kind of dumb, in my opinion. But like, it's kind of like the coaches who refuse to give the starting lineup before the half hour mark before a game. It's like you're not gaining anything. If you give that, if you tell everybody, yeah, Anthony Davis and LeBron James are starting 45 minutes before a game instead of a half hour before the game, nobody's gaining anything there. You aren't gaining anything. So like, it's just like this faux control over the situation that is more farcical than practical. And it doesn't benefit anybody, and it just pisses fans and bettors off, which is why I think like eventually the NBA is going to do more to crack down on it. And I've been waiting for them to do more to actually crack down on it. But when it comes to like the Lakers and how upfront they aren't with injuries, a lot of it has to do with how the Lakers specifically delegate a lot of that injury responsibility to the player and to the people, you know, to player camps, and you know, a lot of everything just kind of like ripples out from there. All right. We do have one question from Twitter. So at self attention layer 24, saw you reposted the new data scientist hire. Does this signal a shift and push to flesh out the front office and player development areas? Thanks and love the live streams. Thank you very much. So I have to do some digging as far as like, is this somebody who is being hired into a position that is already existed, or is this the Lakers creating a new position to bolster their data, their data and analysis teams? That would be, you know, the obviously the latter there is more ideal. I, you know, look, the Lakers, you know, Rob Pelinka sat up there at the, you know, in these press conferences and told us how they were going to be investing more into player development. And that was going to be a real focal point moving forward. I, you know, to this point, haven't seen too many examples of that actually coming to fruition. This could potentially be one if the Lakers created a brand new role and brought on this guy. I reposted it, so I'd have to find the tweet again. But, you know, somebody basically said, like, some personal news, I work for the Lakers now. You know, that would be, you know, if the Lakers actually created a new role so that they would have more data analysts, then great, that'd be fantastic. I just need to find out for sure. So that'll be something I do in the next day or so. I'm going to go ahead and call this here and drop this as just the one part. We are getting back to daily episodes, whether it's recordings or live streams. So keep an eye out for that. The best way that you can know that we are live is to subscribe to the YouTube page. And if you subscribe to the pod page every night, basically from here until the beginning of the season, you'll have at least one pod that releases at midnight Pacific. So ball's in your court there. That is, however, going to do it here for this episode of, oh, nope, it won't. So which two, Sporadic asks, which two home games do you think would be the most fun to go to this season? Ooh, that's a great question. So I would say, I mean, Lakers-Celtics is always one of the answers. It just is. Like, Lakers-Celtics games mean more. So that would be one answer. The other one, I'll say, the second Lakers Warrior game, the Lakers, the second game between the Lakers and the Warriors, where we know a little bit more about the two teams. Maybe there's some trade rumors in the air, depending on the time of year that that game actually takes place. You know, so like the closer you can get to the trade deadline where the Lakers play the Warriors, depending on how, on the outcome of that game, you know, the quotes after the game are going to be spicy because either LeBron will have just beaten Steph or he will have just lost to Steph. And maybe you'll get some Le Sub tweets after that game. But like, it's just, for me, I look for the games that you know that the Lakers are going to get up for. And the Lakers are always going to get up for Lakers-Celtics. And LeBron is always going to get up for a game against Steph. So those would be my two choices there. All right, now that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown. Again, a reminder, please do hit that subscribe button here at the on YouTube. It really helps the show. We are trying to grow this thing as we head into the season with some momentum. We have some news hopefully here coming soon that you guys are going to want to be subscribed to the channel for, as well as we kind of suss out what game presentation and game coverage and game reaction is going to be. And you know, obviously big like tentpole day coverage and reaction is going to be like as well. So make sure you're doing that, you know, here on YouTube. And then wherever you get your podcast, hit that subscribe button, hit that rate and review button, leave your questions in the form of a 5-star review on iTunes, and I promise I will get them. I am going to read this thesis that was left on Monday by SciFilm. or SC film, and you know, respond to it on tomorrow's show when it will be more of a mailbag pod. I'll probably be going live at a time where like more people would be able to tune in or would be interested in tuning in. So keep an eye out for that tomorrow. And until then, until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you mañana.